We're 93.5, 95.3 ESPN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure to welcome a great political humorist and satirist. You can find him on AnEveningWithThePresidents.com, AnEveningWithThePresidents.com, from Chicago, Bill Melberg.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And good morning, ESPN Radio listeners.
Bill, you're right in the state of Maine. Isn't that right?
No, actually, I'm on my way to Maine.
Oh, okay.
where I'll be performing for the Maine Credit Union League later tonight. We're expecting about 300 people at the Samoset Resort in Rockport, which is just up the coast from Kennebunkport, and right on the Atlantic Ocean. It's a beautiful place.
And so right now you're in the air while we're on the air?
That's right. We're at about 32,000 feet.
Bill, I guess an obvious question for this morning is this. Did you see Monday night's presidential debate?
I certainly did. And I noticed a distinct pattern Monday night. When Bob Schieffer, the moderator, asked about Libya, Governor Romney talked about the economy. When Bob Schieffer asked about Russia and China, Governor Romney talked about the economy. When Bob Schieffer asked about defense policy, Governor Romney talked about the economy. In fact, on nearly every question that was asked, Governor Romney kept bringing the focus back to the economy, to the dismal record of the Obama administration.
Yeah, Governor Romney seemed to agree with President Obama on a lot of defense and foreign policy issues, but he took advantage of his time to keep hammering away at the 23 million people who are unemployed, the staggering $16 trillion national debt, home values that have plummeted, and food and gas prices that have soared under the Obama presidency.
However, President Obama got his digs in as well. In particular, most people noticed this comment.
But I think Governor Romney maybe hasn't spent enough time looking at how our military works. You mentioned the Navy, for example, and that we have fewer ships than we did in 1916. Well, Governor, we also have fewer horses and bayonets, because the nature of our military has changed. We have these things called aircraft carriers, where planes land on them. We have these ships that go underwater, nuclear submarines. And so the question is not a game of battleship where we're counting ships. It's what are our capabilities?
Horses and bayonets. We'll be talking about Monday night's debate with former presidents George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton in just a few minutes. But first, let's talk about horses and bayonets with two experts, starting with our old friend, Professor Peter Lorre, curator of the Weapons Department at the Benedict Arnold Institute of Military History in London, England. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Professor, first of all, why is it called the Benedict Arnold Institute of Military History? After all, Benedict Arnold was a traitor to the United States.
Ah, yes. But remember, Stevie, one country's traitor is another country's hero. And here in England, General Arnold is a hero.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
No.
In any case, during his debate with Governor Romney on Monday night, President Obama suggested that bayonets are a thing of the past, a weapon no longer in use. Was he correct?
No, he wasn't, Stevie. The fact of the matter is bayonets are still very much a part of the typical soldier's kit around the world. For example, in the United States Marine Corps, and the Russian Army, and the Chinese Army, and the British Army, and the Royal Marines. In fact, 30 years ago, during the war in the Falkland Islands, Scots Guards used bayonets to fight Argentine soldiers when they ran out of ammunition on Mount Tumbledown. And more recently, the Royal Marines used bayonets in Iraq. Bayonets also have other uses which make them valuable tools as well as deadly weapons.
Thank you for those insights, Professor Lorre.
Oh, you're very welcome, Stevie.
And now let's turn to a very special surprise guest to talk about horses. Just listen to this.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed! What a surprise! It's great to hear from you.
Hello, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
And hello, Wilbur. Wherever you are.
Ed, President Obama suggested that horses no longer have any military use. Was he right or is he wrong?
Stevie, who do you think carried the first American special forces into Afghanistan 11 years ago? Horses! That's who!
Well, President Obama seemed to imply that horses haven't been a part of the U.S. military for at least 100 years.
Horse feathers! So long, Stevie.
Thank you, Mr. Ed. That's a first. And now we're joined by two former presidents, George H.W. Bush.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
And now it's Bill Clinton.
Hi, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Well, hello.
gentlemen, what do you think? Who won the debate? President Clinton?
Stevie and Diane, I don't think there's any question that President Barack Hussein Obama won the last debate because he had the energy, he had offense, and he had the facts.
President Bush?
Stevie, Mitt Romney won that debate by looking and sounding like a president. Calm, cool, collected. That's the kind of commander-in-chief we need in the Oval Office. Now, as for Barack Obama, he sounded defensive, kept interrupting, kept laughing. I think he had a touch of Bidenitis. And his so-called facts, well, they were all wrong.
Would you be more specific, sir?
All right. Well, let's start out with his sarcastic and caustic comments to Mitt Romney about the Navy. President Obama told Governor Romney that this isn't 1916. Remember hearing that a moment ago?
Yep.
He said this is the 21st century, and now we've got these newfangled things called submarines and aircraft carriers. Airplanes come in and land on them, take off. Well, guess what? Submarines have been around since the Civil War. Back in 1916, Kaiser Wilhelm was using German U-boats to sink Allied ships, including the ocean liner Lusitania in 1915. The British built the first aircraft carrier in 1918, and the Imperial Japanese Navy used a six-carrier task force to mount their attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, a date that'll live in infamy. You might also recall that yours truly, George H.W. Bush, was a naval aviator during World War II, flew off carriers out there in that Pacific Ocean place. And today, the newest and biggest aircraft carrier in the world is the USS George H.W. Bush, preceded into service by the USS Ronald Reagan, and soon to be followed by the USS Gerald R. Ford, all Republican ships. So you see, Stevie and Diane, I think I know a thing or two about the Navy, and I think Barack Obama isn't quite as smart as he thinks he is, although he's certainly a smart aleck.
President Clinton, do you want to respond to those comments?
Stevie, what can I say? I don't have an aircraft carrier named in my honor, and I admire and respect President Bush too much to be getting into a war of words with him this morning. But I still say President Obama won the debate on points. And Stevie and Diane, I'll give the last word to President Bush.
President George Herbert Walker Bush, you have the last word, sir.
And I'll give it to my good friend and favorite actor, Clint Eastwood, and here he is.
In the last few years, America's been knocked down. 23 million people can't find full-time work, and we borrow $4 billion every single day, much of it from China. When someone doesn't get the job done, you gotta hold them accountable. Obama's second term would be a rerun of the first, and our country just couldn't survive that. We need someone who could turn it around fast, and that man is Mitt Romney. There's not much time left, and the future of our country is at stake.
American Crossroads is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And on that note, we'll be right back with a special warning to Halloween trick-or-treaters from the Obama campaign that you won't want to miss. Stay tuned. ESPN Radio, 93.5 and 95.3.
Equal housing lender.
Well, it is cooler this morning as expected. Here's your ESPN Radio 3-day forecast from the National Weather Service, Diane.
And we can see the flag flying over at Busey here at the Pines in Urbana with the winds gusting up to 18 miles an hour right now. Today's high 51, down to around 34 with the scattered clouds. Sunshine expected tomorrow with a high 53. Kickoff temperature for the Illinois-Indiana game at 46. We've got a low 35 Saturday night. Sunshine Sunday, high 50, low 32. We're currently at 40. We're ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3.
Yeah, those winds pretty brisk out of the north for sure. ESPN Radio, back with Bill Melberg in our conclusion and that Halloween warning from the Obama campaign. Stand by for that. It's 8:50, 10 till 9.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Stocks are modestly higher. The Dow Industrials up 20 at 13,123. The NASDAQ's up 12, the S&P 500 up 2. John Petrides of Advisors Capital Management says earnings reports have been mixed.
Majority of the companies in the S&P 500 are beating analyst expectations on the earnings, the bottom line, but you're having a higher degree of companies that are missing on the revenue side.
Merck's quarterly profit rose 2.2% while sales declined on the recent patent expiration for its former number one product, the allergy and asthma medication Singulair. Comcast reported third quarter revenue that was well above forecasts and earnings that matched, boosted by strength in its NBC Universal business from the Olympics. Comcast shares up 2.5%. Two of the world's biggest book publishers are in talks to merge their businesses, a sign that the move to digital books is triggering a wave of consolidation. Pearson PLC says talks are underway to combine its Penguin Group with Random House. And this is the Wall Street Journal Report.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email, avoid penalties. Visit barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's barracuda.com/archiver.
In the past year, Rock Center with Brian Williams has brought you stories no one else could.
On Rock Center.
A different side of Justin Bieber.
I just want to prove people wrong.
The founder of Facebook, finally sharing.
We aren't making billions.
A first look inside the White House Situation Room.
This was the longest 40 minutes of my life.
The Sandusky interview that shocked America.
I am innocent.
At the center of power.
Investigation.
Controversy.
At the center of it all.
The Emmy-winning Rock Center with Brian Williams at 10, 9 Central, Thursdays on NBC.
We're back with political humorist Bill Melberg, who is currently at 32,000 feet, making his way to a speaking engagement tonight in Rockport, Maine. Bill, before we lose our connection on the plane, I understand you have a special warning from the Obama campaign for Halloween trick-or-treaters?
Yes, Stevie and Diane, this is a special message from the Obama campaign's special website to stop and prevent negative attacks against the president. You'll recall the attackwatch.com website.
Yes.
And here is their warning to Halloween trick-or-treaters. Greetings, children, and welcome to President Obama's special website, attackwatch.com. This is a special message for all of the boys and girls who will be trick-or-treating on Halloween, dressed in your favorite costumes and going door to door looking for candy and having great fun. But remember, boys and girls, defacing, defiling, or stealing Obama-Biden yard signs is a federal crime, punishable by up to 50 years in a federal prison, or even punishable by death. Oh, yes, it's true.
Obama, Biden yard signs are private property, and they represent the First Amendment rights of their owners to freely express their support of our gutsy president, Barack Hussein Obama, and his dopey vice president, Joe Chuckles Biden. Boys and girls, if you mess around with those Obama-Biden yard signs in any manner, you'll live to regret it. And if you see any other children messing around with those Obama-Biden yard signs, you should report them at once to attackwatch.com. By the way, boys and girls, it is not a crime to deface, defile, or steal Romney-Biden yard signs. In fact, we'll give you a box of candy for every Romney-Ryan yard sign you deface, defile, or steal. So have fun trick-or-treating on Halloween. And be sure to tell your mommies and daddies to vote for President Obama on Tuesday, November the 6th. This message has been paid for by the Committee to Re-elect Barack Obama, Joe Stalin, Chairman.
Wow.
Yikes.
That message certainly puts the kids on notice not to mess with those Obama-Biden yard signs.
It certainly does.
Well, it's always a pleasure, my friend, Bill Melberg. Have a great trip to Maine. Have a wonderful, wonderful show tonight. And we thank you, as always, and look forward to next Friday.
Well, thank you so much. And sorry I got to go, but they're bringing us our peanuts now.
Bill Melberg.